Flip in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 28. Job chapter 28, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they find it. Iron is taken out of the earth, and brass is molten out of the stone. He setteth an end to darkness, and searcheth out all perfection, the stones of darkness, and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitant, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as it were fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the floods that from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence cometh then this wisdom, or whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air? Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. When he maketh a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, so we hear Job take a page out of Solomon's textbook here, although Job lived long before Solomon. So maybe Solomon took a page out of Job's playbook, which came first, right? So it's an interesting passage, very, very interesting, in that Job would now continue his speech and go this direction. What Job says here, it cannot be gainsaid. This is good divinity. This is inspired speech. We don't look to Job here to be speaking error, as we look perhaps at Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar in some of their speeches giving up some error. Job is not speaking erroneously here. Job is speaking openly and truthfully. And he's going to talk about the way the world is ordered. That's the first section. In the first few verses, he's talking about how God has created the world. There's a vein for the silver. There's a place for gold. There's iron that's taken out of the earth. There's gemstones in the earth. The gold is like the dust that comes out of the earth. There's Birds don't see it. They don't know it. It's hidden from them. There's all of these things going on, and he's arguing from the absence of a subject that there must be something governing all of this that's going on. Again, if we put it in the context of our discussion here, what have they done? They've said to Job, you must be some kind of wicked sinner because why? Because you're being so afflicted, right? And Job is going to answer here in chapter 28 by saying what? God's wisdom is unsearchable. You cannot reason from where we are to that kind of judgment. Because God may be doing other things, we know not what. If the fowls cannot see into the earth to find the gold and the silver and so on, neither can we see into God's providence to see the riches of it. That is essentially what Job is saying here in this passage. We should not be making these kinds of judgments because we don't have the purview to do it. You should not be accusing me of wickedness because I am afflicted. The riches of this affliction are hidden like a vein of gold, like a vein of silver, like rubies that are dug out of the earth. We must dig to find them. You don't come across a field and find silver and gold and rubies laying finished and fine on the surface of the ground. So you should not expect then that you would understand why the Lord afflicts me as he does. I don't expect to understand it either. So this is where Job begins in this passage. Then he goes on and he says, this wisdom by which God has made the world, this wisdom by which God has overarchingly ruled in the affairs of men, sounds like where we've been in Proverbs 3, doesn't it? This wisdom is hidden from man. It is not particularly man's wisdom. We should not expect then that we can figure all of these things out. It is arrogance and pride in man, where we see providence working in a particular direction. And what do? We put our hands on our hips. And we roll our shoulders around a little bit and we say, I expected that. Just like that. Yep. I knew that was coming. I knew he had that coming. Job, we knew even from where we came from that your day was coming. Right? And so we do that, don't we? Job says we ought not to be doing that. We ought not to be reasoning in that way. Where shall wisdom be found? In verse 12. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. We cannot be wise as God that we should bring him into judgment and be able to tell with infallible assurance why he has worked in this way or that way unless he himself tells us. Period. And so Job is using now an argument from wisdom to rebuke his three friends in that they have gone beyond what a godly wisdom should be. So then he goes on even more to talk about wisdom being more profitable, more valuable than gold, than silver, than crystal, than coral, than pearls, onyx, topaz. You get the point he's making, right? Okay, so then we come to, toward the end of the passage then, and once again he asks this question, right? Verse 12, where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? Notice verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? This is a common rhetorical device in the ancient Near East. He asks the question, doesn't answer it, gives lots of negative reasons. It's not here, it's not there, it's not here, it's not there. Then he asks the question again to draw us in even closer. Where then is wisdom to be found? What is the place of understanding? And then seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Why do you think the fowls of the air? Why do you think he mentions that? Because they have the greatest purview. They're up high. They see everything. They have the greatest eyesight and purview. They're up there. If they don't see it, certainly no one else does. That's the point that he's making. That's the illustration. And so notice, death and destruction say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Death and destruction don't have wisdom either. Right? And then he gives the answer in verse 23. God understandeth the way thereof. And then he tells the friends how they've missed it. When we come to the end of the passage, he says, and to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And seeing that his friends have not humbly bowed themselves before God in the fear of the Lord, they don't have wisdom. And so this is Job's argument here in chapter 28, that you don't have wisdom because you have not bowed yourselves to the fear of the Lord. Well, that's kind of what we said 2 weeks ago in our afternoon sermon, isn't it? That one of the things that we must have to have wisdom is we must have a renewed mind to have wisdom. We must be those who fear the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. These men that had accused Job, while they may have had some true things to say generally speaking, and while they might have had some good things to say overall, notice that they have not judged Job's case aright. They have not doused themselves. They have not immersed themselves. They have not saturated themselves in the fear of the Lord. They have sat in judgment over their friend without knowledge. And so Job is telling them, you shouldn't be doing that. God has reserved these things for himself. And if you would be wise, you must fear him. So that's his next argument against him. All right? All right, well, he says some wonderful things there. Let's remember that as we move on to our study in Proverbs chapter 3 in just a little while. Let's stand.